Thank you. One moment, please.
Update you on first the outlook in committee, then the outlook on the conference report timing. Senator Long came by to see me this morning at 10 o'clock. I called him early and he can't say he won't come by here. I told him that I had simply to take the position that there could be no compromise on the Hartke Amendment or the Crowley Amendment.
Tell Tom Vail to come on in. I'm tied up on the phone, but he's been waiting about an hour. Go ahead.
All right, sir. And he indicated to me that his disposition was to, of course, not to insist on the Crowley Amendment, but he thought that the Senate was entitled to some split the difference attitude in telephone tax. I told him I might as well jump out of the window or sign my resignation if I was ever willing to agree to that, that I had my job to do and I had to get it done. This was all very amiable and pleasant, but I want you to be aware of it. Now, I don't know what he's going to do, but I couldn't take any chances. I talked prior to his coming to both Senator Smathers and Senator Anderson, who I think agreed fully that this was the only thing to do. I went to see Senator Dirksen and told him I would need his help with John Williams and Frank Carlson, or at least with one of them. And I would also need his help on the floor. He was very forthcoming. He said, well, I think John Williams will be with you in the conference on both the Crowley and the telephone amendment. And he said, actually, people on our side are expecting both to be thrown out. And I said, well, I'll be counting on you for a good solid, lot of solid support if the conferees agree to do that and it comes up in conference, because we just simply can't take any chances on the conference report being voted down. He said, he would help me, and I said, I'll be back at you as soon as the conference is over with particulars. So much for that. In committee this morning, a telephone tax came up. They both sides. Oh, more important, I got hold of John Williams, met him in the hall, as a matter of fact, just coming out of Dirksen's office. And I said, Senator Williams, I need your help on the basis purely of fiscal responsibility of doing this particular job that we have to get done. And he said, well, if you'll stay with me on that political contribution amendment, I'll stay with you on the telephone tax. We went into conference, and the matter came up. Oh, he said, however, I think it would be unwise to have this conference recess at noon with the word that we'd reached and that these things had been knocked out. He said, I think you better make it appear as though the Senate is standing firm for a while and then we'll do it. In the conference, we didn't get to it till shortly before the recess. Mills and Long agreed, having stated their respective positions with a little bit of the normal jousting and kidding, agreed to pass it over until it come to the end with the after they'd had a discussion of the Prouty Amendment and other things. So much for that. I can only rely on two things, Smathers and Anderson and John Williams and Russell's coming around to my point of view, which I know he'll do with some reluctance. I made it very clear to him that I considered that vote yesterday on the Hartke Amendment a challenge to your leadership and to his leadership, and that from wholly apart from the the integrity and the problem of fiscal responsibility we had here, I felt that there was nothing that, no other course but to beat it down and beat it down completely. No compromise was indicated. Now, so much for that. Going to the outlook on the floor, I'll run over this hastily just so you get the flavor of it.
Have you told Russell about the outlook on the floor?
Yes, sir, I did.
I let him be sure that
well,
he knows.
I opened with that. I said, I've been working.
Any chance of Carlson now?
I don't know. Carlson wasn't present at the conference.
Well, I'd sure contact him wherever he is, because he's in here with me with a letter this morning wanting a lot of extra money. You recall we addressed correspondence on the El Dorado Dam. We are disturbed that no supplemental appropriation was forwarded. We're hopeful to please the Kansas delegation. You send requests for funds, 6-7 budget. In the past, budget submission to the Corps have been changed between presentation to you and the time Congress analyzed it. Such change is primarily reallocation. The engineers will find it possible to revise. I hope, President, you will find it possible to support Frank Carlson, James B. Pearson. And then he gives the Arkansas River Basin and the Kansas River Basin and all these others.
Well, he was against us, as you know, on the telephone amendment from the beginning. He sponsored the Senate a long time, and so that's why I'm counting on Williams. But I will call Senator Carlson, although I don't expect success out of it. Now, on the outlook on the floor, I opened with Senator Long by indicating that on my soundings and Larry O'Brien's soundings that. It seemed to us, no doubt in our mind, that what the conference committee report omitting both of these items could be well sustained. Do you want any further detail on names and where we've gotten on that?
Yeah, and I wish I could get Larry. Maybe he ought to tell Long. Long is an impressionable fellow that got to be lived with a little bit. The names and numbers that these folks are going to vote for, it, so he won't think he'll have too much trouble. They're going to filibuster it, they tell me. That Proud is threatening to hold the Senate in session because he knows Mike won't hold it after 4 o'clock. Go ahead.
Bartlett. We'll go along. This is a Larry O'Brien report.
Yeah, I got Larry's.
Right. Well, then you've got Larry's, Bird of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Eastland has given me commitment. Gruning will be Rome. Jordan of North Carolina, a solid commitment. He will go with us. McNamara, according to Larry, is okay. Metcalf gave me his commitment.
Say anything about what he did? Why he quit you?
No, sir.
Go ahead.
I didn't. He didn't. Yeah. I had not had the conversations with him, so I didn't want to repeat. I didn't want to get into that. Williams of New Talmadge will go with us. Williams of New Jersey, John Stennis, Joe Clark, Tom Dodd, and that's where we are as of now. Senator Smathers has undertaken to work on Bass. I'm going to call Bass, too. I talked to Senator Anderson about Burdick, who is off, as you know. He said he told me that he didn't think Burdick was going to be cleared up until you called him in, that there had been some, Burdick has some feeling that something was done for Young and not for him. I don't know the details, but apparently that goes deeper than this particular issue, according to Senator Anderson.
Can you find out what it is so I'll know? Do you think I better ask him?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
All right.
That is about where I stand now on names. Tom Dodd is working on Irvin and McClellan and Randolph. Randolph is out of town speaking at a prayer breakfast, so Tom hadn't been able to reach him.
Yeah, I think that Marvin talked to Randolph, and I think he claimed he'd be with us.
Well, I'd be surprised, but we'll keep working on it several ways.
Anybody know what happened to Irvin and McClellan?
No, sir. I don't know. I know Irwin had said all along that the telephones were going to be a real problem with him. We had no commitment from Irwin. He had put us fairly on notice that he was likely to leave us. McClellan had not been talked to by the, what I would call, the administration. We'd had one outside fellow who knows him very well, talk with him, and we thought he would go along, but that wasn't a reliable report. I don't count either Aiken or, I mean, either Irwin or McClellan as either confused or run outs. I just count those as being, again, on the telephone tags. The Arkansas people were there are a bunch of independent telephone companies in Arkansas. Wilbur knew that from the very beginning, and they always put the Arkansas people up front. The independent telephone companies did because of Wilbur. Well, he didn't buy, but apparently McClellan did.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
What did they do in the conference?
Well, in the conference,
did you agree to meet this afternoon again?
Oh yes, we're going back at 2:15. They covered a considerable amount of ground. Nothing of any great significance that you need to be bothered about.
What will they do then? Just confer today and tomorrow probably, or Monday?
I hope to finish it up today, although it may be that for the charade that they would recess
maybe
today and come back in the morning. But the one thing I've been pressing Wilbur on is to try to get this report printed and in the record by no later than tomorrow night, so it could be brought up on the floor Monday.
Well, they adjourned now till Monday.
Well, no, they were. He was trying to get the speaker to hold a session tomorrow. I think his timing was bad, and he missed on it.
Yeah. So I guess it can't be printed till Monday then.
Well, it was, you know, the way that little old room is, such confusion going on, you can't tell. But I know he made an effort to get it in on Monday. He was really stirring himself to get it in the record tomorrow so it could be voted on Monday. If he missed, it was because of a failure of their internal coordination and not out of any will on
his part. Yeah, I know it. I talked to McCormick, asked him, told him I sure hoped that he'd do it. He said, well, Wilbur said didn't want to bring it up on Tuesday. And so they adjourned at 1 o'clock until Monday.
Well, I changed his mind on that right in the process, and he sent somebody around to get the speaker to try to change his signals, but I think it was too late.
Yeah, we got to it too late. I ought to called him last night and made him talk to McCormick. I called McCormick this morning, though, and told him, and he said, well, Wilbur told him Tuesday'd be all right. And I guess that's the best we can do. It's the best we can do. So, well, I would rather think it would be a good strategy. I don't know if we can direct it, but if we can get them to keep what happens quiet in there, is to go on and get their damn votes and agreements where the pressure won't change them, but then hold up any announcements and have a meeting tomorrow on some other things and finally on these
things.
The danger of it is they might change. Russell might come in and somebody may make up his mind tonight.
No, I'll have to respect their feelings for the charade, but I'd be a lot happier to get the damn thing finished and out in the public domain than to have the chance for any games to be played in this process. However,
does Russell kind of have a feeling that we ought to give him part of the telephone?
Oh,
is he kind of close to heart kid?
Well, he did not.
He's been acting to me like he is. He said, well, we ought to be.
Bit to me, but I started off by saying I've been very busy because I consider this thing that happened yesterday a challenge to the president's leadership, a challenge to your leadership. And then I went in saying I was sure from what we'd done that this could be sustained in conference. He didn't give me any reasons except those, you know, those cute political reasons. Well, this was pretty clever amendment, and I can see some political merit in it. Those fellows that felt the way they did, didn't feel like I could be too hard on them, et cetera, et cetera. But he did not allude at any point in it to any relationships with Hartke or whatnot. And I, I, uh, I, I could only be guessing, Mr. President, as to what's going on. But it's very clear to me, and somebody ought to tell him. He thinks I'm, of course, in a bit of I'm talking for myself when I say it. But somebody else, and I'm going to try and get Clinton, if I can, to do it, to point out to him that if he allows Hartke to bloody his nose on the Senate floor like that yesterday and get away with it, he's just opening a Pandora's box. He will have lost control of the finance committee.